Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, even now, touch the hearts of us, your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your love, so that we might renew the face of the earth. Amen.
Are you guys sure you got this?
Yeah. The twins are plugged in. Baby's asleep. How hard can this get?
We're men. Besides, I bumped into Chuck Norris at a Pizza Hut once. I think his power's rubbed off on me.
Get out of here. Go on, enjoy your mommy getaway weekend. Oh, this weekend was a bad idea. You remember what happened last time we watched the kids?
I'm not a pinata!
Get it off me! Get it off me!
Yeah, we're gonna need help.
Warning, use of this product may alter your perception of reality. All right, everything looks the same. This is a joke.
Guys, it's like the Sahara in this cup. Can somebody hit me with some juice? And listen, pulp, no pulp, doesn't make a difference to me. You're the ones dealing with the diaper.
Mom goggles!
It's beautiful!
Sweetie, I need you to sit on your bottom. Listen to Daddy. You sit on your bottom, okay? Daddy's gonna come get you. Don't move. Don't dance. Just sit on your bottom. Okay? Daddy's gonna come get you.
Whoa! Don't you try to stop me.
Baby made a poopy, yes you did.
Where are your mom goggles?
They wouldn't fit over my hazmat suit.
Take this.
Oh, oh. You're so cute.
And then the little boy rocked his mommy. Oh, I love you. Forever. I like you too.
I don't know how they do it.
Oh, well, you take it and you fold it from corner to corner.
No, I'm asking the question, how do moms do all of this? How do they handle it all?
Well, maybe they have goggles we don't know about.
It's as if God gave moms a special way of looking at things, you know? Okay, who taught you servanthood? Who modeled grace? Who gave you a taste of what God's love could look like?
My mom, Mr. T, and my mom.
Anyway, I just think God gave moms a special way of looking at things. Hey, honey.
Hey, how's it going at home?
It's all good. guess you could say I'm starting to catch a glimpse of what your world looks like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mama.
Hold on, your daughter wants to say something to you.
I need Mama.
She says she misses you. And she realizes how important you are in her life. And she doesn't know how you do it. And she knows that she can't make it without you.
She said all that, huh?
I don't know if she said it. But it's what I wanted to say. And I should have said it a lot sooner. I thank God for you.
The twins.
It was nothing. We have to go, okay? Love you, Mommy.
This place is like a pigsty.
Happy Mother's Day. Mom goggles. The way we look at reality. I know that not all of us have been blessed with having such a wonderful relationship with our mother. And I always like to mention on this day that if you did not or don't, well, then just don't repeat the same mistakes. Change the pattern. Use what you didn't have to make a difference. But if you were blessed or are blessed to have a mother who models like these mothers have done, then be grateful and tell them. I know in my own life, I am still blessed to have a mother who models a consistency of love that never ends. And I have known from my earliest days that no matter what is going on in my life, I can call Mom or go visit Mom, and there's going to be nothing but support and love there. There's something about motherhood that has to do with consistency that is so important. To such simple things as every Christmas Eve, even to this day, I know the famous hot ham with the ketchup sauce my mother is going to provide for the whole family. I know that the anise cookies that she knows are my favorite, she's going to tell my sister to leave that last dozen alone because those are for Marty. And I know that there's always going to be a reminder of keeping first things first in my life. There's something about consistency that is important when we think about love in terms of motherhood. Whether we are biological mothers or not even female, there is consistency that is a part of love. So remember where we are in our liturgical cycle. The small group that did gather here for Ascension Thursday, we celebrated Jesus' ascension into heaven, and he sends the disciples to sit and wait until the Holy Spirit descends upon them. They're not supposed to jump into action right away. We jumped into the book of Acts. But they were supposed to sit there and think about what they're supposed to do first. So perhaps maybe we need to do that. So the first thing is, not only how grateful have I been in terms of what I've experienced with motherly love in my life, or how have I modeled that in my own life where I haven't experienced it, but then the next thing is, how consistent have I been in my expression of love? If we are going to model Jesus' love, as we heard about it in the reading from Revelation today, that Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, there's consistency there throughout his life, and therefore we as disciples of his are called to do the same. So how do we do that? Well, Jesus gives us one hint of that in the gospel that we just heard. A great gospel, part of Jesus' priestly prayer. Now, we have to go backwards a bit here because this priestly prayer happens long before the ascension. It's before the passion. It's after the Last Supper. It is Jesus now, knowing what's ahead of him, passion, cross, crucifixion, death, knowing that he's going to be leaving. So it's like his last will and testament here. He's going to pray to God. It's his last shot. So knowing that, he's not going to kid around. He's going to talk about the things that are truly important and crucial. Now notice what he doesn't pray for his disciples. He's not praying, okay, God, safety, good careers, that they find good mates and have healthy, happy kids. What does he pray for? That they all may be one. He chooses to pray for unity. Now, if that is what Jesus has chosen to pray as his last and final shot with God, it must be something he thought we were going to need help with. So, unity becomes a part of this consistency of love that we need. How are we being a unifying force in our families, in our church community, apart from not being divisive? We are blessed, and unity does not mean uniformity. The blessing in the Episcopal Church is how we embrace diversity in this place. You don't believe we're diverse? Come to a vestry meeting sometime. You'll see some diversity in action. But there's unity there that we can achieve, just as we do in this place. Four completely different services on a weekend, people coming from different socioeconomic, political, you name it, backgrounds, and yet we all come unified at this altar as we celebrate in word and sacrament together. Diversity is a gift. I know what our service, Gail gave me permission to say this, but she got her tongue-tied a little bit when she was doing the prayers of the people for Right One, and we have that one that says, those who are suffering from any malice or any other adversity, and she said, suffering from any other diversity. Well, it's not exactly something we suffer from here. It's something we celebrate, the diversity that God has given us, but still unity. You want to look at consistency and unity of approach? Look back at that reading we heard from Acts today, the story of Paul and Silas. Pretty amazing. There's this slave girl. She's got a gift of divination, so she can sort of be a fortune teller of some sorts. And her owners are using her to make money, abusing her in that way. And Paul and Silas come along, and they do some sort of an exorcism or prayer. Well, now she's no longer got this gift. The slave owners can't make money off of her anymore. So they're not very happy with Paul and Silas. So what do? The crowds attack along with them. They are flogged, they are tortured, they are thrown into prison, their legs fastened and tied. But what do they choose to do? In the middle of the night, there they are praying and singing hymns. Why? Because that consistency of approach, and the prisoners were listening to them. Their consistency in knowing what God was calling them to do, they're going to be consistent with continuing to try to bring the love of Christ to those people. And what happens next? There's an earthquake. If they wanted to, with the gates flung wide open through the earthquake, they could have escaped and went their merry way, but they don't. Why? Because they know there's an opportunity here. So the jailer immediately sees, assumes that with the gates open, the prisoners have escaped. He's going to be in such deep trouble, he's just going to kill himself. And Paul shouts, no, we're still here. We haven't gone anywhere. And what does that consistency of approach do? What do I need to be where you are, to have what you have? What do I need to do to be saved? Pretty amazing story. Consistency of love. They were flogged. They were persecuted. They were beaten up, legs tied and thrown in prison. And yet, they were still able to respond not with hate, but with love. It's not easy for us, but as we celebrate motherhood today, maybe it's a call for us to look into our own hearts. How am I responding with, no matter what happens, with a consistency of love that Jesus would have me image? May we continue to do so. Amen.